Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, welcome back to the City on a Hill podcast. My name is Eric.
And I'm Scott.
And what are we going to do today, Scott?
Well, you know, Eric, we have an election coming up here, and I've got to be honest, I haven't paid very good attention. I don't know who to vote for. So can you tell me how I should vote? That would really save me a lot of time, by the way.
And this is going to be the voter guide episode. Just kidding, everyone. In our neck of the woods, I have been paying a little bit of attention of what's going on. We have they call it a special district election. So this is probably a good time to talk about how should I vote, rather than talking about it and say, 2024 in November, when everyone feels like the stakes are way ramped up. This is different. There's some school board races going on in Westland, Clackamas County. I'm sure other places where listeners live, there's a city council race in our city. But that's about it. Maybe a water district, some simple things. But yeah, I think this would be a great time to talk about how do we do this thing that we call voting. And we were talking a little bit before we started. We've talked about submitting to the government. We talked about honoring the emperor. But this is something different, right? We may disagree. We may not like what's going on, and we have a different system here. So if I disagree or I don't like what's going on, someone will hand me a ballot and I can choose an alternative, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I hear when I'm talking to people about their about what the Bible says about politics. Is what I hear is, well, of course they didn't oppose Nero because they couldn't vote for Nero, or they couldn't vote against Nero, or they didn't, you know, we have a different system than they had. So my obligation is different than their obligation in the Bible was. So the Bible doesn't exactly apply to me in the same way. That's sort of what I hear. Mm. Does that let me off the hook?
I don't think it lets any of us off the hook. I think our posture has to remain the same. Romans still applies. 1 Peter still applies. But I think we've been given, really, I think we've been given a gift that we need to steward in voting. In our state, the ballot gets mailed to us, and I can view that as an annoyance, or I can view it as a gift that I can steward well. And if people ask for my say or ask for my endorsement, I can use that, and I can steward that influence. And if it doesn't go the way I want, I still have my posture dictated to me by Scripture. I'm still humble and submissive, and the things we've talked about in previous episodes.
Actually, what you're saying is that because it's a stewardship, in some respect, it's worse, because I don't simply have to, you know, bow my head and submit. I have to have the opportunity to make my voice known. And then if and when I don't like it, I still have to submit. Mm-hmm. So I have like two obligations now instead of one.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because now there's a potential for extra frustration, because to some degree, someone asked my opinion. And then that opinion, because of the amount of people voting, was ignored. there's potential to be extra frustrated, or make it extra hard for me to be submissive. And I think that's worth noting. So that's what we have going in. We have a different system, by God's providence. And I think some common grace, we've expressed thankfulness for the system we live in. By God's providence and common grace, we live in a system that chooses its government with the participation of the citizens. And we are some of those citizens. So So how do we do that well? And we're going to, let's talk about it. I'm going to give my thinking about this, and people can disagree if they want. That's fine. Send an email. We'd love to hear some talking about it. But I have three things that I usually think through when I have that ballot on my kitchen table. Again, they're mailed to us in Oregon. And before I start checking boxes or reading the voter's guide or reading the arguments for or against, the first thing I want to remember is that God is sovereign. God is in control. God is bigger than all these things. And he has never been surprised by any of the outcomes of any of our democratic elections.
Well, if God is sovereign, why should I bother to vote then?
If God is sovereign, why should I bother to love my neighbor? Why should I bother to do anything?
Because, you know, isn't it the same, you know, age old thing that God's going to do what he wants to do anyway? And why should I bother?
Fatalism. Yeah, that's fatalism rearing its ugly head.
Well, fatalism putting its head into your political system.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's mixing up your really what's an untrue thing about your faith with the opportunity you have in front of you to actually let your voice be heard. And your voice really does get heard, and it really is a legitimate voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that still doesn't override God, but both are true. You right. get your voice, and God is sovereign.
Yeah, and I think the same thing, little rabbit trail. I think the same question comes to my mind when I'm not thinking clearly about prayer. If God already knows, why do I pray in the first place? Because God desires me to talk to him, and that's how he communicates with me, and that's what he told me to do in Scripture. Did God tell us to vote in Scripture? No, it's different, but he put us, he set the boundaries where we live, and the place where we live, this is how government is organized.
Acts 17, so, yes.
Yep, we've done this before. So yeah, if fatalism is coming to mind, one, jump in the Bible and steep in that for a little while, and trust that the God of the universe is sovereign and also wants you to participate with him. And that's how he communicates. That's the relationship he communicates in Scripture, is we're with him, we're not just aloof participants in what God's doing.
So part of remembering that he's sovereign seems to me that, it isn't just a here I'm going to think a happy thought while I fill out my ballot, but rather I'm going to take this to the Lord in prayer, because it's really his will that I want done, and even if he sees something that's different than I see, that's a bigger picture than I see, that, you know, he wants to move somewhere sometime in the world that I don't know about or understand, I want him to be sovereign and to do that. And so I'm going to submit my vote to his will in prayer for sure.
Mm-hmm. And if that's one's posture, it relieves a lot of the fear I can see in people when they're voting, and a lot of the worry and a lot of the anxiety. It's helpful to know, I mean, Proverbs 21, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. Or Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. And it's helpful for me to realize, man, okay, I'm not sure what to do right now. I really need wisdom. I really need help to choose in a proper way. It's helpful to remember God will not be surprised by the outcome of this election. God was not surprised or caught off guard when President Biden was elected. The same is true for President Trump. The same is true for President Obama or President Bush. Or if you go all the way back, and I'm picking the big ones because those are the ones that are going to stick in people's heads. God has never been surprised by those outcomes, and he has set up what he wants set up when he wants it set up by the means that are around, which is this voting system.
Well, let me ask you a related stewardship question. Is it sin for me not to vote?
I think short answer is I'm not sure. It depends on why. What is your posture? What's your posture towards God when you're saying I'm not going to vote? If it's a flippant, angry posture that says, I don't care about anything that's going on. And there's a cruelness to your posture towards your neighbor. And I hope this place just burns down and I don't care. Okay. There's a simple posture there. If there's an understanding of the complexity of what you're being asked to weigh in on, and you're saying, I don't know that I have the wisdom to weigh in on this complexity, so I'm going to set this one out. That doesn't sound like a sinful posture to me. So it just depends. I think it all depends on what that posture is.
It could be sinful or it could not be sinful. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I cannot vote for sinful reasons or I cannot vote for responsible reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I appreciate that you're saying that in part because, you know, stewardship is a responsibility that I have where I am, you know, handling something on behalf of someone else. And if I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God and I have a chance to make my voice known in the kingdom of man, would seem to be a pretty important stewardship. Mm-hmm. However, if I don't have clarity on what the king of the universe wants done in this vote, maybe I don't vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's my view. Again, send an email if you want. We would love to respond to them. And that posture could be, that complexity posture could be in play at a number of different levels. I could go through my ballot and go, yep, I totally understand what's going on in the school board race. I can vote accordingly here. And then I get to special water district number 17. Man, I don't know if either of these candidates are even competent. I don't know the answer to these questions.
I don't even know what a water district does.
Exactly. So you may say, yeah, I think I have the tools necessary to vote here, and I don't have the tools necessary to vote here. And maybe I'm going to brush up, and next time this comes around, I'm going to be ready to go so I can be a good steward of this opportunity.
Well, thank you.
There you go.
So now if I'm going to be a steward of it, now I need you to tell me how to vote. Because I want to be a lazy steward, and I just want you to tell me.
Wow. Stewardship is not going to involve laziness. Let's start there. That's not actually one of my points, but I'm finding being a good steward of voting is making for a more involved task, not a less involved task.
That's probably true.
So this is my view, but when I think about voting, and especially the way the kind of attachment that comes when you throw your vote behind someone, I view it more like endorsing. Because at the end of the day, I don't know if you've done this, Scott, you fill out your ballot and then you start maybe watching returns or maybe a couple days later, did the people I vote for win? Now I have some involvement. I have some, I picked some teams and I want the teams to win. And I view voting a little bit more like endorsing. So my bar for throwing my endorsement to someone is a little bit higher than just, oh, I'm going to flip some coins and it doesn't really matter what happens. So I put a little bit higher weight onto those things. So in doing that, I think that there's two things that are worth evaluating. And full disclosure, I got this from David French. He's mentioned it in multiple places, but we'll throw a link in the show notes. He talks about two tiers and he says he imposes a two-part test on candidates. The first one is, does this person have the personal character necessary or worthy of the office that they seek? You look at this person, do they have the character? They're seeking whatever office. Different offices will require different amounts of character or type of character or quality of character. And can you look and say, from the information that I know, do they have the character worthy of this office? Yes or no? The second is policy. At a broad level or at a level necessary enough for the office that they're seeking, do they share my political values, the policies that I would desire be enacted? And the way he says it, and I agree with him, if the candidate for whatever office fails either of those tests, they shouldn't get your vote. They shouldn't get your endorsement. If they fail at a character level and they have all the policies that you would want enacted, they shouldn't get your vote. If they have the character, but they're not at all going to do the policies that you would want enacted in your view of a wise way to govern whatever district or state or city or nation or whatever, then they shouldn't get your vote either. And I think that's a really helpful way to evaluate and think through, how am I going to put, even though it's a small amount of weight, how am I going to put my weight around a candidate? Who deserves my weight, my influence in putting my vote to them?
Which makes me think, if somebody has, you know, doesn't have the character or doesn't have the policy, would I ever just vote against them? Would that be the way that I'd think about voting?
So you're saying there's two people on a ballot.
Yeah.
And you go to the one and you say, okay, they failed this two-part test in some way, so I'm just going to automatically go to the other one in order to vote against the first. Mm-hmm. Well, one, I think you'd have to do the two-tier test again.
On the second,
I'm on to the second candidate. Do okay. they have the character? Do they have the policy? Yes or no. If they don't, then why would they get your endorsement?
I guess I couldn't vote against them, probably, right?
Yeah.
So in my view, candidate. So I'd leave it blank.
You could leave it blank. You could vote for other people. There's always a write-in column, and this is where we get emails. I'm very certain. This is I've had this conversation enough that people don't always agree with my view on this, but I think that's a reasonable. If someone has not earned your endorsement or your vote, I think it's reasonable to vote for someone else. And if that means writing in, then write in. If that means voting for someone that has little chance of winning whatever race, if they fit the character and the policy criteria, then they should get your endorsement. They should get your vote. I think that's a reasonable, wise, and good stewardship way of giving over your influence in your vote.
So on a related note, so I'm just trying to apply these things. If somebody's, which happens to us, and it is happening, I know in this the city council election, somebody's running unopposed. Is it irresponsible just to check someone who's running unopposed? I mean, they're not going to lose.
I still think it's worth, I still think the good stewardship way of engaging that process is to do that minimal amount of research that answers the question of, what is the character of this person? I don't care if they're the only person running for mayor or running for governor or running for special district, water district number 17. If they don't have the character necessary to do that job, they shouldn't be voted in. If they do not have the right ideas around that position, they shouldn't be voted in. And if a bunch, let's talk about ideals. If a bunch of people did that weighing of values, and all of a sudden there's this one person running for this unopposed seat of whatever, and a bunch of people that weighed their voting like this went, no, this person does not meet the expectations that are required for this position. And they all wrote in someone. Even if they didn't write in the same person, there would be a clear and obvious rebuttal to that person running again. And it would be a clear message to people that pay attention to these things. Someone else needs to run for this next time. Someone else needs to take up the mantle of this position. And that's more of a long-term thinking. I think we get really stuck into short-term outcomes, short-term thinking. And I know, in fact, I've been watching results of the 2020 election. I'm watching people who think about these things every single day, looking at the returns of district congressional districts, and presidential outcomes and all these things, and the difference between who voted for president, who voted for Congress, how those things were different, and how many times people wrote stuff in or didn't vote or whatever. And people are paying attention and going, oh, we just lost 5% of voters because of candidate A was different than candidate B or whatever. And I like the long-term perspective on those things. And rather than just going, I need to make a short-term thing happen now, I need that outcome to happen. We don't have that kind of control over things, but we do have control over where we throw our influence, our endorsement, our vote.
Well, that's you're trying to make me work on this election, which I can't fault you for that, I guess. But what if neither candidate's good? What about the lesser of two evils? should I vote for the lesser of two evils if I don't like either candidate?
I'm just smiling because it's.
You've heard this before?
How many times have you heard this, Scott? this is an off-repeated conversation. Again, if you're using the framework I'm suggesting you use in a situation where there are two evil people, neither one would meet the criteria. Neither one would have the character. One would assume neither one would have the character necessary for the office that they seek, and maybe neither of them have the policies that you would desire they have. Before we even talk about how to vote, I would go back to step one. God is sovereign. God is not hoping that I am the bulwark in front of a bad decision being made and I'm the only one left. And, oh, you better, one of these is they're both horrible. Please pick one. God is, again, not surprised. God can use, evil people and bend them to his will in ways that I don't even understand how that's possible. And if you read scripture, you can do that. So one, pull the fear out of that decision, pull the anxiety and the worry and all those things that is keeping you up at night and, making it very difficult and keeps you glued to the television. Maybe just turn the television off too. That's probably going to help quite a bit, but remember that God is sovereign. And I love the phrase. I think you said this, Scott, don't vote for evil, especially if we're talking about throwing my influence towards something or my endorsement towards something. I don't want my name attached to evil ever. And I want to be able to say the whole thing goes off the rails and everything breaks and it's all going downhill. I want to be able to say, yeah, I didn't attach myself to that. I was reading an article. This is by Ramesh Panuru. We'll put that in the show notes as well. But he was talking about how do you vote? What do you do? And he has a quote. He said, to vote for a candidate for president is to have an infinitesimal effect on the outcome of the election, but to wholly determine whom one wills to be president. And that was just so striking to me. The effect that I have on who will become president is minuscule. He's talking about big elections. We're talking about school board right now, but we're hoping we can help people understand this so that the temperatures are less 4 years from now. The effect I have on who becomes president is small to almost an infinite degree. It's just so minuscule, so little. But when I check that box or I make that decision, I have wholly determined really what my heart wants. I have determined who I want to be president. If I could will this thing into being, I have determined that. And I think allowing yourself to determine that, that has effects. That has effects on your mind and your heart, and it has you pick a team. You become invested in the team. You become invested in the person.
So you're suggesting that I have a super, super, super small influence on the election, but really when I place my vote, the election has a pretty big influence on me.
Yeah.
That's the way you're thinking about it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. And I get it at a psychological level. Like you check a box, you pick a team, and even at almost an affection level, I don't want to make it too, too spiritual, but I think it's there. You're throwing your affections towards something and you begin to root for that team and defend that team. And if you've decided these are both or three, four, five, whatever many options, these are all evil options and I'm going to attach myself to one, that's going to change you. And I would counsel against doing that. And friends, I hope we all can also admit that things are really complex and these aren't simple things. These are really complicated things. And I cannot determine the ultimate outcome by doing a single choice with that little piece of paper. Realize they're complex and realize we don't know how things are going to work. One of the reasons I bring up complexity is that call yourself a conservative or right-leaning or something in, say, Oregon. I happen to know about Oregon. not a right-leaning or not a conservative state. In presidential parlance, we're a blue state, almost assuredly. And it's really helpful on a presidential election to realize, if I tend to vote one direction and I'm thinking about binding a little bit of my conscience to this thing, and it's opposite of what would normally be the outcome in Oregon, I can't even change it. Okay, don't bind your conscience unnecessarily to something. And we're still on the voting lesser of two evils. Just don't do it, especially if it's not going to change anything. I just want people to be able to sleep at night.
Can we write you in if we need to?
You can definitely write me in. I know there are better people to write in, depending on the position. There's definitely better people to write in.
I think, but if we're at a loss, we can at least.
If we're at a loss, yeah, just go ahead and spell my name incorrectly. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and so everyone knows, I've written in people before. It's easy. you can write stuff on that little blank line. And sometimes it makes it easier to sleep at night.
And I think, I think it's the other thing about this is people are going to have to figure this out, and I'm going to have to figure this out. I mean, I'm not running, so there won't be a candidate that matches up exactly with me, most likely. And so I've got to weigh, is this close enough, especially on the policy side of things, is this close enough to what I think is, that I can live with this? And that's, I imagine that's a, what do you think is the threshold? That seems to me to be the threshold. Is this as close as I can get, or is this close enough
on the policy? You're talking about on that policy, that policy side. Yeah. And I think those are prudential questions that everyone will need to weigh individually as well. As I try to align with the God of wisdom and understand how does this world best operate, there's going to be a bunch of ways that we can disagree. I think option A is better. I think option B is better. I think this policy is better. There's a bunch of possible disagreement there. And that's where wisdom comes into play. Like, what do I think is best? And I think options A through D are best. E through G are still acceptable. But if we get into M through Z, like, that's not acceptable. Now we've gone off the track for what I think the policy should be for this type of position. And I think I would add, people get really hung up on specifically presidential elections. It's the biggest thing. It takes the most airtime. We see it on the news the most. Again, you have very little effect on how that works. But the things that affect you most, you have the most effect in, which is the school board election. It is the little board that decides how the school district is going to have policy, or what policies the school board will adopt, or how some budget funds will be spent. You have great influence in those things, and not a lot of people vote for those. And the impact is bigger. And that actually affects your neighbor, and it affects you. You can love your neighbor most effectively by engaging in those smaller things. And frankly, you can call those people too and say, hey, can we get coffee? I'd like to talk to you, because I want to know who you are and how you plan to exert influence in this office. And you could have a coffee and figure out what's the character of this person, what's the policy preference of this person. And you could do that all day long. And I've talked with enough people and realized how easy it is to have those phone conversations and coffee interactions. It's easy to do.
It's actually their job.
Yeah.
So they want to do that with you.
Yeah.
And really smaller, not the smaller the better, but the smaller the situation, the more influence you have and the more your participation matters. I mean, think about even a neighborhood association. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting down to where 25 people might vote or something.
Right.
And you make up at a minimum 4% of the electorate. That's right. That's a lot, So that I agree with you that that's, they say all politics is local, and it doesn't feel that way But what you're saying is that in this regard, it is, because it's so much easier to have influence locally than nationally.
Yeah. And just as another plug, even for a neighborhood association, if you belong to the Kingdom of Jesus and you've been called to go into to the nations and make disciples and love your neighbor, man, that's a really good way to meet neighbors. Just go sit in that room with people and you hear what they care about and you get to interact with them. And you probably care about a lot of the same things and you can try loving your neighborhood together. And there's ways to build relationships there and hopefully point them to the King of the universe. So would recommend.
And you just, again, thinking in terms of, I am a citizen of the Kingdom of Heaven, and what has the King asked me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. He hadn't said love your Congress as yourself or love your president as yourself, but love your neighbor as yourself. And you can start, you know, start there. And really, some of the elections we have coming up in next month are that level, where these are people that I know and mm-hmm. that I can actively engage in a relational way, even, which is right. crazy to think about that.
Yeah. It can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's it. I hope okay. this is helpful. We're recording this in April, but we'll probably be releasing it, I don't know, a week or two before the election on May 18th. So I hope this is helpful. I hope this allows you to be a good steward of your kingdom citizenship while you are an American citizen. And that's why we did this. So come back next time. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review goes a long way. If this was a helpful talk through how to vote, man, send it to a friend. Send it in a text message or an email or whatever, Facebook Messenger, whatever you want. Share it. If you have questions, and I'm sure there'll be some questions or some comments from this podcast, send them to podcast@newlifenw.com. And we look forward to the next conversation.